Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text for this Christmas Eve comes from our Old Testament reading of Isaiah. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God, let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Thus far the text. Sitting in the depths of despair, what sort of sign would you want from God? If given the chance, as Ahaz was given in our text, what would you ask God to do in order to prove his faithfulness to you, his love to you? For this is the type of God that we have, a God who is faithful and a God who loves. But his love is not experienced with a warm, fuzzy heart. This isn't some sort of sophomoric love that is scribbled down in cheesy poetry or sung about in catchy 3-minute little ditties heard on the radio. God's love for us isn't relegated to feelings or emotions. He doesn't allow his love to waver like wisps of smoke that vanish in the air each and every time we try and take hold of them. His love is concrete. His love is sure. His love is action. It takes the form of doing, of working, of actually being something other than just a silly little platitude. God's love isn't the drivel of a Hallmark card, but it's the unequivocal truth of his word, accompanied by the concrete reality of a sign that embodies that truth. God's faithful love is at its very essence the unequivocal truth that we celebrate this evening. Ahaz didn't know what sort of sign to ask for. In fact, he refused to even ask for one. God had promised to show him his faithfulness, his love, through any sign as high as the heavens, as deep as Sheol, any sign at all that Ahaz would have wanted. But instead, through sinful unbelief, Ahaz desired to turn God's own words against him. He didn't want a sign from God, and really, neither would you. This is what man is left to when he's left to his own sinful desires. He rejects God. He rejects God's promises, his words, his signs, and everything in between. The sinner wants no sign from God because such a sign would prove God's faithful love. And God's faithfulness, God's love, is the last thing that a sinner wants. He doesn't want God's love or promises or salvation. The sinner just wants to go it alone. And so we find ourselves gathered here on this Christmas Eve, perhaps out of obligation, perhaps out of tradition, maybe out of a promise that you gave a friend or a family member. And so we'll take an hour, certainly no more though, to gather around a manger scene once a year, sing a few of our favorite Christmas carols, be home in time to sip eggnog and find out how the Grinch stole Christmas. Our lives are busy. They're filled with real problems and real issues, with real bills to pay and real difficulties to face. Does God love us? Sure. But love doesn't pay the bills or solve any real world problems, does it? Love is a great thing, but sooner or later you've got to grow up and stop believing in silly little Christmas stories like a virgin giving birth to a son. And so, like Ahaz, the sinner despises God and his word, his promises, and his faithful sign of love for us. Emmanuel, God with us. That's a great little adage, but in the end, it's meaningless, right? Amidst life's struggles and difficulties, social unrest, joblessness, health issues, COVID-related or not, divorces, broken homes, untimely deaths, timely ones, this year of 2020, is God really with us at all? It would seem that this God with us nonsense is nothing more than an empty promise from an empty God about empty love. And we've all had enough empty promises this year, if not for a lifetime. But our God is strange. He does things that are unexpected and completely unwarranted. God actually stays true to his words and promises, even when we never do. And especially when we don't believe him and believe that he will. Amazing as anything, when we are faithless, he remains faithful. His love never fails. And so even when we reject him and we reject his sign, wanting absolutely nothing to do with it or him in love, he still gives it to us. His promise is that he will be with you. And so he is. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Emmanuel, which means God with us, is not so much a name or a title, but truthful reality. Emmanuel describes the fulfillment of God's promise, his promise of faithfulness to you, his promise of love to you, his promise of a sign that proves this love, his promise that he is Emmanuel, God with us. In a small and smelly little stable in a godforsaken corner of a nondescript nothing of a town, God fulfills his promise, Emmanuel, God with us. And this has to be. For in no other way could God love us and remain faithful to us than to be with us, and not just with us, but one of us. This is love. It's action. It's service. It's sacrifice. It's ransom. In the depths of despair, in the pains of this world, what other sign would ever really even matter except Emmanuel, God with us, God in flesh? God in the flesh is the fulfillment of his love for you. God as man, born of woman, born of a virgin, agonizing birth pangs, blood, sweat, and all, that's Emmanuel. God in the flesh, Emmanuel, suckling at breast, crying that infant cry, that's Emmanuel. God in the flesh, helpless like only a newborn baby can be, wrapped in swaddling cloths by his mother, protected by the night from his earthly father, that's Emmanuel. God in the flesh, born into a world that would not know him, born into the world where you are right now, amidst all of its sinfulness and fallenness, that is Emmanuel. God in the flesh, dealing with pain and loss and agony and tears, dealing with suffering and broken relationships and the death of loved ones, that's Emmanuel. God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, God with you, God for you. That's Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us. This is love. It's not just an emotion. It's not a feeling, but is an action. And it is our reality. This is who your God is. Jesus the Christ, the babe of Bethlehem that we sing about. The babe in the manger that seems to get lost behind the Christmas tree and all the presents and the stockings. The babe who shines brighter in the darkness of your life than any string of lights. The babe that grew up and made his way to the cross, bleeding and dying, pierced and wailing, thorns in head, nails in hands and feet, spear inside. Because what good is Emmanuel? What good is God with us if your sin is still there? If your unbelief is still not taken care of? If your life is not saved? And so Emmanuel, God with us, is Jesus. Yahweh saves. You wouldn't look for him on your own. You wouldn't ask for a sign either. You wouldn't even desire him to be with you. And so he gives his own sign to you. And he makes himself known to you and brings himself to you. Yes, he saves you. He saves you by his perfect birth and his perfect life and his perfect death and his perfect resurrection. That's how he saves. Sins forgiven in human blood shed on a cross for you. Sins forgiven in a human body broken for you. Sins forgiven in the death of God who became a man and died as both for you. Sins forgiven in that pink and slimy, half-blind, gasping for air, soiling himself, baby of Bethlehem, Jesus the Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, for you. Sins forgiven. That's Emmanuel. That's what Christmas is all about. Not trees or presents or tinsel or lights, not even family and friends, eggnog and Christmas roast beast, not even the manger and the stable, shepherds or angels. Christmas is about sins forgiven, your sins forgiven, because Jesus is Emmanuel. God is with you. In life, in death, in the life hereafter, your sins are forgiven because God is Emmanuel. He is with you. In the name of Jesus.